So lace up your boots, cause I'm about to shoot a true motherfucker going out for the loot. Welcome to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lebanor. It's going to be another episode recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, March 30th, 2025. Wow, long ass March. Today's episode is rated R and F. F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Okay. Before I continue, I want to shout out the heartbeat of this interaction, this thing of ours, this podcast thingy. And that's all you listeners. So whoever you are, whatever you're doing, take a pause, take a break, and applaud yourself now. Give it up for your beautiful selves. And if you happen to be a first-time listener, first time checking out this podcast, even if it's by mistake, applaud yourself and please feel welcomed. Little volume in my levels. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. All right. Today's episode titled Gimme the Loot by Marvin Sapp. This is probably not what I'm going to put in the podcast description, but let's just say that I'm going to talk about how Marvin Sapp's recent actions helped me reaffirm my stance on being an ex-Christian. And it's not going to be a predictable one. It's not going to be a predictable one this time. I mean, not this time, but So check it out. That's going to be the feature thought. But before we get to our feature thought, let's do some our traditional quotes and randomness. All right? Okay, let's start. Let's start with some quotes. I only got two today. And the first one goes, stop being so worried about being judged by the most basic ass humans ever. Two, manage your reactions, but do not suppress your emotions. Now, where were you when I was growing up? I could have so used that quote. Yeah. Okay. And, I used to think that suppressing emotion was managing my reaction. So that's why this hits home. So appropriate. By the way, the author of this quote is Young Pueblo. The author of the other one, no name. I just got it from the How to Not Give a Fuck subreddit. All right. Okay. Let's do some randomness. Okay. Should I have a sound for randomness? I don't have one right now, but whatever. Okay, another time. Okay, so first thing, let me just start out by saying that for those who've been sticking around, my days as cat sitting. Jesus Christ, yeah, cat sitting is ended yesterday. Yeah, you would be missed. You know, and it was kind of fun. It was, you know, there was some ups and downs like I talked about. I'm not sure if the downs were my anxiety. You know, I processed through it. My anxiety, because I was constantly worried about the comfort of this animal. But it was a chill animal. We were both introverts. And, you know, she liked her space. I liked mine. But one thing is, now that it's over, I can smoke weed again. Because I didn't like smoking weed around the cat. didn't want the thing to get contact high. And the other thing, too, is it didn't help the anxiety. It just amplified things. But all this to say that I got my place back. I just got to, you know, vacuum a bit of fur and stuff. But, the journey is over. I don't know if I would get my own cat. But one thing's for sure, it would need to be a cat like this one. Like, you know, like, leave me the, nose when to leave me alone. and likes to be left alone. Lets you know when they wants to be left alone. But yeah. All right. This is just, again, random thought. I just finished season one of 1923. And I got to tell you, man, it's not that I'm surprised that I like it, but I'm going to say shout out to the writers, man. It's like, it's a show that I shouldn't like. How do I say this? It's a show that on surface, when I think of the whole story, I'd be like, man, fuck the main characters. But the writers, I'm not trying to, this ain't no spectacular show, but I think I just like how the writers just brought me into the story. And has me like feeling for the main characters, even though the main characters are people that like, I like how they presented a story. It's like I connected with the humanity of this character, even though they're fictitious. It's weird what I'm trying to say, because I'm saying things and I'm contradicting myself, which I think is part of the appeal. But all I know is I like how it starts with Yellowstones, and then they have 1883, 1923, and it's about a white man who doesn't like change, wants to keep things the same. Like, I'm like, it's as if, imagine they made the story about a slave owner. And, yeah, about a slave owner. And his enemy would be Lincoln. It's like, Joey, you ain't gonna take my slaves! I don't like change. Change is bad. But in this particular case, I'm not saying that this dude is like trying to he's trying to like legalize slavery, but I do like how the writers have convinced me, or has me siding with this man who, look, man, my grandpappy legally stole this shit from the natives, and I'm gonna fight for it. And I'm the nigger in the story. I'm the natives in there. It's kind of funny. It's kind of like trying to say that I'm a white man trying to protect my land, and I don't want them to do to me what we did to the Native Americans. And I'm siding with it. Oh yeah, man. There's a lot of like, you know what? I think that's what it is, man. Is I like suspending reality. The only way I could enjoy this show is by pausing the fact that I'm a black guy, I'm a black person, and I'm poor. I'm not a ranch owner. Like, I gotta suspend myself from reality to enjoy this show. Yeah. And there's also a message about, you know, I won't say toxic masculinity, but there's an aspect of good old fashioned masculinity in there. and I'm so into it, like the dude who just shows up and the girl who fawns for him, and you know, all he did was, I had a bad childhood, I'll kill a motherfucker, whatever. Anyway, whatever. I'm impressed. I'm all this to say that finish season one, and I'm told season two sucks, but whatever. I'm committed. I know, maybe I'll do a review of it or something like that, but who knows? Whatever. Yeah, all right. Okay, next item I have is, now we're going to go back and we're going to go to some stuff that I found on TikTok.
Okay. From the very beginning, it's been clear you're not someone who can be controlled. It's not about being stubborn or rebellious for the sake of it. It's that your spirit naturally rejects anything that feels restrictive, false, or unjust.
Okay, I'm going to stop it here. It's actually a longer clip. I'll let you hear it for yourself, but I will read the caption. And the title is The Chosen Ones. And it goes, in African spirituality, a chosen one is typically referred to as an individual believed to be specially selected by the ancestors or spirit world to fulfill a significant role in this world, often possessing unique abilities or spiritual gifts to bring healing, prosperity, or guidance to people, helping the weak to get them to freedom from evil courses from their oppressors. Okay, this the punctuation is a little fucked up in this one. The chosen ones can also be the awakener, the healer, the warrior, the visionary, the teacher, and the bridge builder. All I'm going to say is I heard the clip, read the caption, and it's wild. And I felt like, and I feel like I'm saying this with some audacity by saying this, but I felt like it applied. Yeah. See, on one end, there's the humble me. And, well, there's the humble slash, don't accept any compliment. There's the you ain't shit and whatever, right? But, and then there's the other part that, but what if this applies to you? Because it had me thinking about every time. So I spent a lot of time trying to be like everyone else and failed. Only to now be in this age, be in my older age and realizing that I was not meant to fit in. I was meant to be myself. Now, whether being myself helps others, that's to be determined. But I do know for a fact that by the current journey that I'm on is being myself, being my authentic self. Fuck fitting in. The world could go fuck themselves. And yeah, man. And I like this idea of the chosen one. Because, yeah, I don't know. It's like I felt like I had some purpose. I just didn't know what the purpose was. Or maybe I do know it, but I just can't get myself to admit it to myself, which is part of the journey. So anyways, yeah, I recommend if you relate to what the fuck that I'm talking about, if what I said makes sense to you, I recommend checking out this this clip and see if it like makes you feel like it made me feel. All tingly aside. All right, next item. Okay, this one here is a clip by T Blizzy. I'm not going to see what T Blizzy did, a content creator on TikTok, is I like her name. That's part of the reason I keep saying her name, T Blizzy. But she's a content creator, and she drops facts. She educated woman, and she drops facts. In this particular video, she stitches a video, and I'm just going to play the part of the video that she stitched. All right, but I'm also encouraging you that links are in the show notes to check out the response, the stitch for yourself. Check it out for yourself. But I'm just gonna address a small part of what she says. Okay. All right, let me just play this. And I labeled this minimum requirement. Here we go.
How is race objective, something you're born with and stays that way forever, and it's culturally appropriating to do or say otherwise, yet gender is just a vibe now? If a white person can't be black, then how can a man be a woman? I'd love to see the Democratic Party come onto this page and do mental gymnastics to answer this question. I don't think one of them is going to be able to, but let's see you guys try.
I will answer this question with glee, however. You are not allowed to watch this video if you cannot respect my qualifications and you're sure. Going to believe some random white girl on the internet. And if you are incapable of waiting until the end of the video before sharing your thoughts and feelings, if you're incapable of reflecting, scroll from now. You're not allowed to watch. Mm-hmm. Go. Leave. Qualifications are as follows. I am a black woman, so race and gender affect me at the same time. I am also genderqueer. Oh, y'all are already triggered. If you're triggered, leave. I also have a university background in biology, physiology, and sociology. I also wrote and published a book about exploring gender and sexuality beyond their binaries. So those are my qualifications. Let us begin.
All right. Okay. I'm stopping there. I purposely... because I loved how she introduced her response. That's the part I'm going to address. It had me reflecting on the concept of minimum requirement. Minimum requirements. Now, you don't have to be in the IT world, but if you think about that kind of stuff. But when you're about to go buy a computer, let's say you want to buy a computer. I don't know if people think about that kind of stuff because you don't do that with your phone. But I mean, in the good old days, you had a computer, and then you want to buy a piece of software for it. Sorry, people are laughing at the idea. Buy software? What the fuck? I pirate that shit. But my point is, I used to work in retail. That's okay. Let me just go. I used to work in retail, and I sold software back in the 90s. I just realized some kids might be listening to this and have no fucking clue what I'm talking about. But anyways, all right? But bear with me. I'm trying to say a story. So I used to work retail in an electronics store, and I would sell software. Okay? Bear with me here, right? And the thing is, when someone would come in, it's like, hey, I want Microsoft Word. I want Word Perfect. I want AutoCAD. Whatever the fuck. I need the software. And the first thing I got to do before I sell this person a piece of software is I got to read the minimum requirements. Minimum requirements. So it's like, I feel like I'm about to preach here. I feel like I'm getting ready to preach here.
You know, I didn't come here to preach to you today.
Okay. I swear, I'm not preaching. But minimum requirements, right? And minimum requirements are the resources, the capacity your computer needs to have in order to be able to run this piece of software. You with me? All right? So you got to have like, back in the days, it was like, you got 2 megs of RAM? We had 2 gigs. Holy shit. Okay. You know, you read them. You want to go with the recommended requirements, but not the minimum requirement, right? But you recommend it with preferred. Here's where I'm going with this is I love the way she starts out with, yo, if you're a fucking idiot, scroll away. If you can't process new ideas, scroll, you know, she used her own words, but I'm saying this. And it just had me thinking about why the fuck, like all these people who are like, oh, there's only 2 genders. Or fucking the earth is flat. Vaccines don't work. You know what I mean? It's like, it's amazing how we deal with people who don't have the minimum requirement to process this new reality. The reality that was different from what you were born with. The reality, it's like, yeah, in school we learned that, I don't know, what did we know? You know, granted, I'm 75. No, we didn't have computers back then. Maybe that's why it's... Well, then again, I have people who can't... Focus. What I was about to say is it's normal for me. I've accepted that things changed. But granted, without in the 80s, there were no computers. There were no... You know, I was writing letters. I wrote a letter. No, but not regularly. But me and my cousin, we were just playing with each... Having fun, and we sent each other's letters. Just to, hey, look, the post thing works. Like, that was like the equivalent of, it was just fun thing to do. I remember using a, getting permissions to type out one of my projects. My point is, I've seen technology grow. And I've had to adapt to changes. And what I'm getting at is, that lady who started, I don't think she was asking that, like, you know, I'm not faulting T Blizzy for responding. I think T Blizzy just used this opportunity to, hey, let me enlighten people, or let me use this dumb question to say some smart shit. Again, check out the clip. You'll hear for yourself, right? And but I'm focused on the first lady asking a question that she doesn't have the minimum requirement to process. And, you know, she wasn't asking out of, people like that rarely ask out of good faith. It's, look, I'm going to waste your time. I'm asking you a question. I'm going to turn it into an argument. I'm going to tell you that I disagree when the truth I should be like, oh, bitch, you could have Googled that shit for yourself. The fact you didn't Google that shit tells me you don't have the minimum requirements to process this fucking shit. What I'm trying to say is, look, man. When you are watching TV on black and white, in black and white, there's a lot of fucking details you missed. There's a difference between watching a TV show in black and white and in color. In color, in with HD through HDMI, 4K. There's a lot of new information that's come. I'm about to lose my, I lose my patience. I'm realizing that I've been losing my patience over idiots. I'm not going to use the word idiots, but people who don't have the minimum requirement, the recommended requirement to process new information, new realities. Now you just want to stay stuck in your ways. And that's another reason I don't like Donald Trump. Because he he makes dumb people feel comfortable. And look, If you want to stay dumb, be dumb, but play your position. Don't go acting like, no, I'm the one who's, no, it's you people who believe that Earth is not flat, that's the problem. You know what I mean? It's like, anyways, minimum requirement. I'm not usually the kind to lecture people on what they should do, but stop wasting my goddamn time. All right, okay. Shout out to T-Blizzy. Not just for the name, and I'm just not saying that just for, because I want to say her name. Okay. Next item. Okay, this one is more is a public service announcement, and we are all familiar with people stealing content on the internet. But if I'm if I could find an opportunity, if I hear about it, I will put the word out. And this is about a French content creator stealing from a black woman, and content creator's name. Oh wow, that's like Economy Vodka Wonder. Oh, she did say Wonder. I thought it was Wonderlust. No, Wonder Slut. Economy Vodka. And she's the one saying, talking about, hey, I put out some content, and then she exposes this French white woman for stealing her shit. The French white woman, her content is in French. Now, usually, don't get me wrong, the issue isn't the fact that, because you're probably thinking, oh, well, similar ideas. No. This chick, word for fucking word, but translated in French. It was the equivalent, yeah. That's fucked up, man. I guess she figured that, you know, I'm gonna go to my white audience and, like, at the very least, give credit to where you fucking found it. I don't know. I think it's fucked up, man, what people are willing to do for likes. Some folks have no shame. I guess that's the bottom line, man. Some folks just have no shame, man. And then, hold on. I'm gonna try to find the name of the content creator.
Directly stolen the words out of my mouth. Listen to my video and then hers. Europeans are also losing their culture. Original? And the funny thing is, a lot of these right-wing parties will tell them it's due to the inclusion of immigrants in their country, when actually their cultural erasure is wholly due to its embrace of capitalism.
Les Européens sont en train de perdre leur culture, et ce qui est amusant, c'est qu'en fait, tous les partis politiques d'extrême droite prétendent que c'est dû à l'inclusion d'immigrés dans leur pays, alors qu'en réalité, cet effacement culturel est entièrement dû à l'adoption du système économique capitaliste.
She called it the bootleg version, okay.
Perdre leur culture et...
The name of the content creator who stole the thief, her name is Maël.G. G-E-O-P-O. Yeah, and she made herself look like a scholar and all that. And, man, it just bothered me, man. It bothered the fuck out of me, man. But anyways, I'm a different world, you know. I'm trying to make sense of her way of thinking, but it just infuriates me. But, yeah, man, there's a thief out there, folks. That's fucked up. The idea of, there's a thief out there, put the word out. Oh, the worst part is this chick is going around blocking. If you bring it up, if you go on her video and bring it up, she just blocks people. Shame, man. Shame on your ass, man. I wish I knew how to put curse on people. I put on a war on her. Yeah, man. Hope you get sunburned forever. All right. Okay. Let's wrap this up. This is the end for quotes and randomness. Let's jump to featured thought. All right. Okay. But before we do so, we're going to take a quick break. Okay. We're back. I mean, I'm back. I like to refer myself in the third person, but yeah. You know what? This today's feature thought is labeled church ratchetness. On this podcast, we have a segment called church ratchetness, or a category of things to talk about, and it's church ratchetness. And in church ratchetness is my opportunity to talk shit about the church. I'm a preacher's son. Some preacher's kids. I have kids out of a wedlock. Go to prison. Me, I stop going to church and talk shit about the church. And for those of you saying, hey, church ratchetness, that's a lot like swords ratchetness from The Black Guy Who Tips. And I want you to understand that, nope, completely different. And they're McDonald's, I'm McDowell's. So, So please don't confuse the two, all right? And, I'm just realizing for today's thought, it's It's just reaffirming how so church ratchetness is my reminders of how done I am with Christianity. It's like, oh, you keep bringing it up. But okay, before we start, for those who haven't heard that gospel singer Pastor Marvin Sapp, oh, they misspelled his name, is under fire for looking at his congregation because he there's a video of him asking his congregation for 40,000, basically saying, hey, we're gonna put money in this collection plate, and no one's leaving till we meet our objective of $40,000. And he said, lock the doors. And hold on a second. Let me play the. Here's the thing, guys. Okay, first I would confess that I just hit pause. You won't tell by the editing, but I just hit pause to actually read the article to get the, to get some more details. And two things. One is this is a resurfaced video, and this happened in July 2024. And I'm gonna read his reaction. His reaction to. His video going viral, right? And then finally I'll make my point. This is all a long ass setup, but yeah, I do that. All right, here we go. Some have taken issues with a particular moment when I instructed the ushers rather firmly, excuse me, to close the doors during offering. To those unfamiliar with the church contents or who may not regularly attend worship gathering, this has been misinterpreted as holding people hostage as well as offensive. That was never my intent. The truth is, when finances are being received in any worship gathering, it is one of the most vulnerable and exposed times for both the finance and security teams. Movement during this sacred exchange, oh wow, can be distracting at times, even risky. My directive was not about control. It was about creating a safe, focused, and reverent environment for those choosing to give and for those handling the resources. All right, okay. I'm being fair. This is what his thought is saying. Yeah, this shit was out of context. And here's the thing, guys. This is where all this is going, right? One, I am familiar with this tactic. I'm familiar with, I've been to churches I'm speaking from my own experience. Like, I don't know if we were to interview if all the people in there, it's like, did you feel threatened? Did you feel like if you didn't donate, you'd have to give in? And the majority would probably say, nah, I didn't think it was a jack. I thought the Holy Spirit came onto him, right? I'm not defending. Okay, yeah, it sounds like I'm defending him, but it's I'm giving context. I mean, I'm making sure that I'm very familiar. I've been to a TD Jake conference, and I remember he started with, accepting from donation, and we're going to start at $100. I'm like, what? You know how much it cost me to get to Dallas? It was in Atlanta, I forgot. So all this to say, I'm familiar with it. My dad used to say, yo, the gospel is free, but delivering it ain't. So cough up that dough. Okay, that last part I'm paraphrasing, okay? But that's not the part that I want to talk about. When I saw that clip, the first thing, and I remember being like, shit, man. No, I remember my brain went into automatic. I could picture the Christians I grew up with giving me all kinds of excuses to don't believe what your eyes are telling you, or it's out of context. This is not a reason to give up on your faith, and yada, yada. Like, all these voices saying, don't have a negative thought about this incident. And it was at that moment that I realized my only reason to be Christian has always been because someone else wanted me to. It was never a decision that came from me. And this is what I mean when I say that reaffirms my stance as a former Christian. It's more the idea that no more letting people talk me into it. There's another clip I'll let you play for yourself. another a separate clip, separate message, right? About people pleasing. See, I remember seeing the Marvin Sapp incident. And again, I'm on TikTok, right, scrolling, right? No, I was preparing for the show, thinking of the Marvin Sapp incident, and thinking how, give me the loot, take a verse from Biggie and say that it came from Marvin Sapp. I did it for comedy effect, right? And then I landed on this clip about people pleasing, and it made me realize how, going back to what I was saying, is how much the Christians I grew up with played on my need to people please. See, every time when you see clips of young children saying "I love Jesus" or whatever, saying all kinds of, you know, saying shit that kind of too young for someone your age to be saying. But you know, it's either "I love Jesus" or "Jesus is this," blah, whatever, and "I'm committed to Jesus," the goodbye devil, whatever, right? I remember being that kid, and the motivation to do that was getting that okay from the adults, especially from my parents, saying that, yes, good boy, good child. Like, I just wanted that acceptance. And the easiest way to get that acceptance is saying what they want to hear, is telling them what they want to hear. Yes, I'm all about the Bible. So, I think I have this urge of saying more than I need to say. But the bottom line is, because I think even I had my doubts that, you know, maybe this whole former Christian thing is just a temporary. I remember explaining this to my cousin, and she didn't see it. Like, I was trying to explain to her, yo, this shit is a divorce. I'm done. Like, I'm distraught. This is not, you know. And she just saw it as, this is just a temporary thing. You'll come back. You'll be back. And you know what? And to her credit, because I'm, you know, not to be a never say never, I'm saying, if I were to come back, it'd be a decision inspired by me. It wasn't because my parents or someone guilted me into it, or someone said, hey, you want my approval? Come back, be Christian. See, that's the thing is, I'm thinking of because this was like my biggest deal breaker in Christianity. I remember this lady who used to teach me Sunday school, and she had joined this new church, and her church was I saw her after a long time, right? She was passing out flyer to an event at her church, and it was Paula White. This was like during Trump's first term. Paula White. His spiritual advisor, Trump's spiritual advisor, was going to speak at her church. And I remember getting that flyer and seeing Paula White. I was like, wait a minute. ain't that Trump's spiritual advisor? Yup. She was already in attack mode. Whoa, you can't trust the media. She was already. I remember that same language because she used to do that to me when I was a child. It's like, I'm going to pray, you know, it's like, oh, you listen to rap music? Well, you know, Jesus doesn't want you like it, and it just want you to do this. It's like, it was always constant coercion. And that's another thing about Christianity. This is another thing Christianity. It's like, black people, we were beaten into submission to accept Christianity. Now, this ain't me saying, hey, black people shouldn't be Christians. What I'm saying is, I need you motherfuckers to accept the fact that I'm done with it. I don't want to hear shit. The more you try to pull me in, the worse you make it. And that's the thing. Again, like I said at the beginning, is I'm on this authentic self journey. I'm no longer doing things because someone else wants me to do it. By the way, I joined that gym. I talked about it, Orange Fitness. And what helped those people is, just to catch up you people, to catch up some of you people is, I tried out their free class, and I remember that I was ready to sign up, but I remember telling myself, nah, I'm just going to sign up for the really basic package. And the lady I was speaking to, she was trying to upsell me. No, you want the blah, 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 blah. I was like, yo, You're scaring the hoes, man. You just talked yourself out of a sales. Like the whole pressure sales was just annoyed the fuck out of me. So I was like, you know what? I need to think about it. Walked away. And that was my way of making sure that I did this because I wanted to, not because she like talked in my ears and I just yelled uncle. I feel like my point wasn't successfully made, but just that I'm on some Frank Sinatra my way thing. My way, yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Christianity didn't, at least the Christians I grew up with, didn't seem to show any liberty for, there was no room for individuality. You know what I mean? No, you got to conform. It was all about conforming. I couldn't fuck with that. Anyways, I'm going to reiterate that point, man. Yeah, I'm an ex-Christian. My name is B Black. I'm an ex-Christian / former Christian. I know it's the same thing. I'm not sure if it's ex-Christian, if I should go with ex-Christian or former Christian, but you get the point. But yeah. And yeah, I know. For all you Christians like pissed off at it, the only thing I ask, so you know, if you really have faith in your God, then you will pray for me. That's all I ask, you know. Pray. Leave me the fuck alone and do your prayers. Now don't pray that, please, Jesus, bring him back. Nah, fuck that. That's coercion. Please, Jesus, create a situation where he needs you. It's like, oh, shit, it burns when I pee. Oh, shit, now I got to pray to Jesus. You know what I mean? It's like, that's not the prayer. You know, like if you find yourself, if your religion can't survive unless you coerce people into joining it, then some self-evaluation, man. Time to do some self-evaluation. All right, okay, that's it, man. I wrap this up. Since I am doing good on time, I'm just going to say that, yeah, check out the links in my show notes. The other links, excuse me. One's about Hudson Bay. Yeah, man, fuck Hudson Bay. Oh, okay, there's a clip about a PhD student being detained by ICE. It's kind of some scary shit, folks, man. Yo, folks are being, you know, they're saying immigration status and shit like that, but she's this person who got detained is the clip is in there in the show notes, right? She has criticized Israel, and it's like, yo, free speech is gone, man. It's got whatever, man. Choice is an illusion, kids. Choice is an illusion between those who those who have the power and those who don't. All right, okay. Thank you for listening. This concludes today's episode. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed recording it. Before I end, I want to remind you, website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast.com. Shut Up Podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. I represent a hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and black folks who say yes, the big group's question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. By the way, that 1923 show, there was a lot of fuck Whitey moments in there, man. There's a scene in the residential school. Now I remember, that's why it was hard for me to enjoy the show, because those scenes were just like enraging, like, They put a lot of, like, there's a lot of violent scenes in there, and they want to communicate these messages that, yeah, these teachers at these residential schools are terrible. These teachers, they were the real savages. These Christians were the real savages. Anyways, fuck Whitey. Thank you for listening, and remember, please, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.